Take your Bibles this morning and
turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We want to begin by reading verses 21 through 29. Which is just a continuation of preceding thoughts, which is a continuation of the whole Sermon on the Mount. And he's closing his remarks of that sermon. Verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Let that sink in.
Amen.
"But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Let that sink in. "And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." In studying and preparing for this passage of Scripture, I ended up with too much to be preached in one message. So I divided it up into two messages. The first one I have titled, "Is Your Profession Real?" Is my profession real? That is, is our confession of Christ and salvation in Christ, is that real? Something every one of us needs to think about, contemplate today. Is it real? As we consider this passage, let us keep in mind the context that has been before us. The Lord Jesus has been telling his disciples, yes, when we come to the mount, Christ came and he saw the multitude, and he went up in to the mount and seated, and his disciples, his closest followers, gathered round him. They were the ones that he was teaching. They're the ones that he was instructing. Yes, the multitudes would have been situated so that they could have heard his voice, would have projected out over them, but he was teaching his disciples, those who gathered round him. They were those who followed him everywhere that he went and heard everything that he preached and everything that he taught. And here in this sermon, he's telling them of a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And without that righteousness, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. No salvation. The scribes and the Pharisees, he says, are hypocrites. They are pretenders. It is a way that is not within the natural man. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Scribes and Pharisees said, I didn't commit adultery. Jesus said, to think upon a woman, to lust after her, you've committed adultery. They said, I've not killed anyone. I don't commit murder. And Jesus said to be angry at your fellow man without a cause is to have committed murder already in your heart. And on and on. The hypocrite would say, why, I give to the poor. Jesus said, so that they could be seen of man. Not to please the creator of all men. The hypocrite would say, well, I pray. Again, Jesus said, so that you could be seen and heard of men. Not to talk to your Father, which is in heaven. The hypocrite would say, I fast. And I fast twice a week. And again, Jesus would say, you do it to appear righteous. To appear righteous before men. You don't do it because of a heart broken from sin and a needing to get alone with your Father, which is in heaven. And therefore you come apart from food and drink for a time so that you can do that. Yes, Jesus said, the gate is narrow. Well, how narrow is it, Jesus? It's so narrow that few there are that find it. In fact, the way is so piercing. It is so narrow that it pricks and prods and is piercing. That's the afflictions and the persecutions as a child of God for the sake of Christ. So it's a way that is not common to natural man. It takes being born from above. It demands a striving. A striving for that way which Jesus has been expounding in this sermon. To control even our thoughts. We have a new heart. If we are His, if we are the true disciples of Christ, we have a new heart. You see. So it takes a striving from that heart to be obedient to the commands of Christ. Not the picking and the choosing of the ones that we want to be obedient to, but to be strive to be obedient to all that He commands us to do. And so, therefore, in this passage of Scripture, first of all, we want to look at what he says. He says an outward profession is not enough.
In verses 21 through 23.
The hypocrites profess God as their Father. John chapter 8 and verse 41 there, Jesus has been talking to those Jews which believed on him.
So they said, they believed on him.
As you find out, Jesus said, you're just mere empty professors
to believe on me.
He told them that they said, Abraham be our father. And Jesus says, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. They said, we have one father, even God.
See, they professed God to be their father. Jesus in verse 42 said, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me.
And so he told his 11. The 11 apostles in John chapter 14 and verse 15, what did he tell them?
If you love me, if you really love me, then you'll manifest that love for me by keeping my commandments.
And then in verse 21 of the same chapter, or verse 15, 21 of the same chapter, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he said, he that hath my commandments will love me. He'll do them. He'll love me. And my Father will love him. And I will manifest myself unto him. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But he gives some stipulations there. He gives some manifestations here. He didn't just stop with that. That's not a period there. And everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loves God, says they love God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You love Jesus Christ, the begotten, the only begotten Son of God, but you love not only him, but you love all those who are born again of God. As is made evident in the next verse. By this we know that we love the children of God. We love those who are begotten of God. And how's that? Because we love God.
And what? She didn't stop there with that. Because we love God. And keep his commandments.
And keep his commandments. And then it goes on to tell us, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not a burden to us. It's a delight. It's a delight to the new man to do the will of God. So we want to pay attention to the precept that is before us this morning. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. I hear it all the time. Oh, yes, I know Jesus. I believe. I'm going to heaven. But there's no manifestation of it in their life. I've worked with many people. Oh, they profess to be the most holy people and they're loving Jesus and looking forward to Him coming. But there was no manifestation in their life. We'll get into that. What was it James said? Or shall we say, what was it the Holy Spirit tells us through His spokesman, James? In chapter 2, in verse 19 of that chapter of the book of James, he said, even the devils believe and tremble. You say you have faith? You say you're a believer? The devils believe also and tremble. That alone is not enough to take you to heaven. James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without a manifestation of that faith is dead. It's nothing but show. It's nothing but put on. It's nothing but pretending. It's hypocritical. The very thing that Jesus has been reproving here in this sermon on the Mount. We must do the will of God. The will of the Father which is in heaven. We must do the will of Christ. There again, what was it Jesus said to the 11, said to His church? In John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you really love me, you'll do my will. You'll do that which is pleasing to me. Look at verse 21 of that same chapter, John 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Is Jesus manifesting himself to you today? In other words, are you pleasing him in your life? Or are you just a mere professor, which is an empty profession? Amen. I remind you again of what 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2 said. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. It is His will that we repent of sin and believe in Christ. And that separates untold numbers of those professing to be religious today. They profess to love Jesus Christ, but they've never repented of their sins towards God. They It's His will that we repent of sin and believe in Christ. And that as a manifestation of that, we live a life that loves God, shows our love for God. And we do that by living a holy life, which loves our fellow man. Which is the summation of the Ten Commandments. Love. First part, love God. Second part, love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. And the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, tells the Thessalonians this. In verse 1 of chapter 4. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk. He says, you've received of us in this latter and times past, of how you ought to walk, how you ought to behave as children of God. And to please God. To please God in your walk. And this is how you're going to please God in your walk. And he says, so ye would abound more and more. In other words, you won't be happy with the state of your walk today, but tomorrow you seek to do better. You want to abide more and more in that perfect walk, in pleasing God. Yes, Lord, I failed today. Help me tomorrow. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your purification, your holiness, that ye should abstain from fornication, to look upon a woman and to lust after her. You've committed it already in your heart. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, in purification, in holiness, and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. It's basically unbridled lust. That is evil passions and desires for which is bidden. Forbidden. That covers our relationship with God. It covers our relationship with our fellow man. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. You see, the Gentiles which know not God, those who know not God, they walk in evil concupiscence, in unbridled lust. That's all they know to do. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's called me unto holiness. And you, if you're a child of God, he's called you unto holiness. Amen. He therefore that despiseth not man. He that rejecteth these teachings, you're not rejecting me, you're not rejecting man. This is the word of God, he said. And this, what I'm bringing to you this morning, is the word of God. You're not rejecting me. You're rejecting God. But God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. The question this morning is, has He given to you His Holy Spirit? Verse 22 gives us the hypocrite's defense. They said, we have prophesied in your name. But again, John 8:41. We have one Father, even God. We do those things by Him. Luke 18:11, what was it the Pharisee, the hypocrite, did? God, I thank Thee. Why, he didn't even have a personal relationship with God, did he? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Is He more than just God to you? If you're His, He's your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, and I love to call Him my Father. I love when I go to Him in prayer and say, my Father, which art in heaven. Is He your Father? Is there that personal relationship with Him? The Pharisees didn't have it. Listen, all the preaching in the world will not save the preacher if he does not have the practice. In other words, that which I preach, you can expect to see me doing it. You should expect to see me doing it. I've told you many, many times in the preparation of sermons to preach and so forth, how that God works me over the coals before I get up here. And then when I'm delivering it, many times He chastens me again. Sometimes maybe I'm the only one that needed it. What was it James said in James chapter 2 and verse 17? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. If that's all you have, it's just an empty profession, he said. They say those hypocrites, those Pharisees, our people today, we've cast out devils. Judas, one of the 12, was a devil. And he was given power by Jesus Christ along with the other 11 to cast out devils. He cast out devils and he himself was a devil. He was the son of perdition. The son to damnation, destruction. Utter destruction is what that word means. They say, we have done many wonderful works. There's where it lies. That's what they were depending on. They were depending on their works. They were boasting of their perceived good works, which they did. Which at best are nothing but what? Filthy rags. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision in Christ availeth anything. Works does not profit a thing, but faith, which worketh by love. Love towards God. Because you love God, you love your fellow man as well. Is your faith work? today? Does my faith work? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast.
See, work for salvation won't get you there. But your faith ought to work. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath foreordained that we should walk in them. His people. It's ordained of Him that we walk in good works. You see, our faith must work. Instead of these hypocrites, instead of pleading faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, which is by grace through faith, they pleaded their works. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Not Revelation, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. See, this is the real righteousness of God. This is real salvation. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You see, it's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. And how is that righteousness obtained? By faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we plead what? We plead the blood, the righteousness of God, not our own works. I have nothing to offer if I have not Christ and His shed blood for me. The plea of the scribes and Pharisees would be, I've not murdered. I've not committed adultery. I do not lie. I give to the poor. I pray. I fast. Why, I'm circumcised. But they love not their neighbor as themselves, manifesting, therefore, that they do not love God either. They have not charity. They have not love. Notice in verse 23 the denial. The lawgiver, verse 21, Jesus. Notice, it's Jesus. He said, not everyone that saith unto me. Who's doing the speaking? Jesus is doing the speaking. He's delivering the sermon on the mountain. He's giving His closing remarks. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven, there's the law He gives forth. He's the lawgiver. Verse 23, He's the judge. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Get him out of here. Ye that work iniquity. See, the lawgiver is the judge. And He'll declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Those that are trusting in their works, and they may have a mere empty profession, which is just for show. No manifestations of that profession are workers of iniquity. Why? They're workers of iniquity. All of man's works
outside of Jesus Christ are a stench in the nostrils of a holy God.
Romans chapter 3. Verses 10 through 18 tells us what a stench it is. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Under their lips is poison. Their tongue speaks deceit and lies, cursings and bitterness. See? You have no works that are good before God without Christ Jesus. Notice the expression, "I never knew you." He says, "I don't know you." He did not know them. He did not know them as he knew his own in love, in which he loved them intimately before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, "They of old, he spake unto me, saying, Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love." Get that word, everlasting. When did he begin to love me? There was no beginning to his love for me. Because there was no beginning to his love for me, there's no end to his love before me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that blessed? He said, "Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Therefore with loving kindness did I give you a new heart and change your willer. And make you willing to come to me." I love that. He knows and loves his, and he came to save his. Book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And he loves his to the end. John chapter 13 and verse 1 tells us, "Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end." Those ones that he loved that was in the world then, he loved them until he was taken out, and he continued to love them, and he continues to love us today who are in the world until the end, till the day of completion, till we're brought home to be with him. These whose profession, which is empty, he says, they're hypocrites. They're pretenders. He said, "I never knew them. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." The question is, before us today, before each one of us, as we stand together and have a song in closing, the question before us is, do you know him? And the better question asked is, does he know you? Shall we stand and sing, Brother Mike?